Good morning.
Good morning.
So in the gospel today, this is one of the gospels that I get more questions about than a lot of the other gospels, because there's something in here that doesn't always fit with the rest of what we hear in the gospels or in the letters, and that is that there is an unforgivable sin. Did you catch that?
Yep.
That if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that's considered in what Jesus says is an unforgivable sin. So I want to talk about that for a second, because that way I won't get as many emails tomorrow. So in theological tradition, they talk about, particularly in the Catholicism, which we're very much related to, they talk about sort of six sins that are sort of in this ballpark. Despair, which I think you might know what that means, which is thinking that one's malice is greater than divine goodness. Does that make sense? So your poor situation is somehow greater or above what God can redeem or do. Presumption, which is obtaining glory without merit. So presuming that you're set to go. Resistance to knowing the truth. Envy of another person's spiritual gift. So being envious of another person for having obtained faith or something else. Impenitence, which is not repenting of a sin. So not being willing to repent of a sin. And obstinacy, which is when we cling to our sin. So we don't let our sin go. So is that clear? Everybody got that? So let's move on. But I think when we hear that, we kind of wonder, what is Jesus talking about? Because it doesn't fit with how often should we forgive another, not seven times, but seven times 70. It doesn't fit with what we hear in Paul about how all our sins can be forgiven if we just lay them at the cross. I mean, it seems to not be in accordance with that. But we have to remember who Jesus is talking to and what the conversation is about. What did the quote-unquote religious leaders just accuse Jesus of being? Satan, right? So this is not a light charge. Have you ever been called Satan? Anybody? I mean, this is kind of a big insult, right? And it's beyond that, but he says that not only do they call him Satan, but they call him Beelzebub, which is sort of a worse name biblically, but says that he is Beelzebub. So not only is Satan, he's everything that's wrong. And then Jesus has come back quickly and said, how could a house fight against itself? I'm coming to do something else. I'm not coming to, you know, I'm against Satan. How could I be from Satan? And so this is the context in which Jesus is replying to them to say, you know, you're not being about God. You're putting your own sins above God's redemption. You're saying that what I am able to forgive, you're not willing to forgive. You're being envious of another person's spiritual gift. In other words, I'm able to do these miracles, but instead of accepting them as miracles from God, you're challenging them and saying they're not from God. Do you see how this goes? And so really within the context, what Jesus is saying is, you're not willing to get it, and your hearts are so hard because you don't want to be forgiven. And sometimes that's what we miss that's part of the story. It isn't that you can't be forgiven if you've spoken against God. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is their hearts are so hardened against God that they've blasphemed. In other words, they've put such a barrier between them and God that they aren't letting God in. And that's what it means to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, to not allow God to do some work in you. Now think about that for just a minute. And then remember what Jesus says in this last part of the gospel. I'll give this back to you, I promise. So then they're there, and they're saying he has an unclean spirit. He's part of Beelzebub. And then his mother and his brothers, and another translation says, and his sisters come, by the way. So that's important because the sisters sometimes get left out. But in another translation, it says sisters. And are standing outside, and they call to him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and he says to them, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you. And he says, who are my mother and my brothers? and looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus is redefining what it means to be a person of faith, but what it also means to relate to each other. In his context, in his culture, in that place, familial relationships, family relationships are everything. It defines who you are. It defines your status in life. You cannot separate yourself from your family. Your name is even closer related to that, because Jesus was sometimes known as Jesus Bar Joseph. So you're often, you know, linked. Your name is linked to be whoever your father was. Your name is part of that, or sometimes your mother. And so everything is about familial relationships. And so again, Jesus is breaking a tradition. And he's saying it's not just about who you think your family is, but it's that we're all family if we're willing to do God's will. And sometimes what's lost is we focus on the blaspheme part and we miss this, but this is the more critical piece of this. Because that's exactly what the leaders that he's talking to were unwilling to do. They were unwilling to forgive others. They were unwilling to look at their neighbors and see them as someone that was like them. They were unwilling to bring other people in the faith. They were so caught up in being exact about the rules, how you ate and how you did this and how you washed and how you, you know, and they would find any violation that you made to cast you out. And Jesus says, no. It's about trying to do God's will. And when you do that, we're all brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers of each other. And this changes everything. In our collect for today, that little prayer that we started the service with, it says something kind of really important. It says, help us, right, to think good things and think good thoughts and think about the right things to do. And then it says, and give us the will to do them. Any of you ever heard of behavioral psychology? You guys probably studied this, right? This is stimulus response, right? It's dark, I'm going to turn the light on, right? That's really simplistic. This is the part in between, right? This is the spiritual part or the psychological part of what happens from the thought, it's dark in here, to I've got to get up and hit the light switch because it's a miracle, right? Because unless you're an engineer, which I know some of you are, electricity doesn't make any sense, right? And it comes on. But if we think about our moral ability, I'm hearing a racist joke. I know it's wrong. How am I going to respond? You have a gap. This is what the collect is about that very gap right there. Are you going to laugh or say, I don't really like this kind of joke. Let's find some other kind of joke to tell. Tough decision, right? I know it's wrong to steal or to lie on my taxes, right? You know that people who study these things, something like 80% of people, if they can lie on their taxes and they know they can get away with it, they'll do what? They will. But it's still a lie. So I'm not advocating for taxes or anything like that, but it's still a lie. That's the point, right? So in there, do we make the decision to do that because there's no consequences, or to do the right thing? Are we going to devote our life to the purpose that God gives us, and are we willing to find ways to do that in our life? So the question is that in-between time, right? And how do we be spiritually motivated to do that? You see, we don't want to think that any of us would ever blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. We don't want to think that we're going to sin against God. But this is the spiritual task that I think is before us each and every moment of our day. And it can become about so many different things, about how we're going to respond and how we're going to be willing to continue to be God's disciple. So I want to challenge you to do something with that collect this week. I want you to pray that collect several times a day. So you've got it with you. You have no excuse. You can take that piece of paper home. I'm going to watch. Everybody's going to go out that door. I'll put Kelly over there. But I want you to take that collect with you, and I want you to pray it every day and see what happens. Now, all of you are good people. I mean, I don't doubt that. And I think that you have the right will to do the right things in your life. But I think that that's part of the spiritual task, is placing that in such a way that we think about it all the time, about doing what's right. Doing what's right, both for what God would ask us to do, but also doing God's will in our relationships with our fellow, with the people that we're around. The second piece of that is to think about who your brothers and sisters are and how you treat them and how you show them kindness and respect and dignity. And to think about looking people in the eye this week that you encounter that are not part of your circle already. And thinking in the back of your mind of what Jesus is saying to challenge us, to try to get us to see each other as children of God. I think you might be surprised at how different things can be. So two things to work on. To think about what it means to ask God to help you think about the right things and to know the right things to do, and asking God to give you the strength and the power to do them. But also seeing your brothers and sisters that are all around you as the people that God has given you as your family. Amen.